So if you look at your bulletin, you can just scratch the sermon title today. I was rototilling my garden yesterday and just got this really strong impression that we needed to lean into our Ireland missions trip a little bit more than I was going to this morning, and then just follow it up with an abbreviated sermon on a different topic than what I was going to speak on today. And I believe the Holy Spirit is leading us into that, so we'll see what He does with it all. Marcy and I had the opportunity to go to Ireland. You can put the slide number one up there, thank you. To go to Ireland October 17th to 29th. We have some missionaries there that we're partnered with. We'll show you a picture of them here in a few moments' time. We went there for the purpose of encouraging our missionaries, Bruce and Brenda, who are there. We went there for the purpose of encouraging the church as well, of getting to know the church and the pastors there, and just to get a feel for what's going on the Emerald Isle, as they call it. And it was a really informative time for us as we got to go. Next slide there. Roughly 1.5% of Irish people are evangelical Christians. That would be people that have the same persuasion as us. There's the mainline church people that would probably not be a part of this statistic, but evangelical Christians such as Baptist, Pentecostal, a bunch of those churches that would be put together to be called evangelical Christians. So 1.5%, and this is in the southern part of Ireland, the Republic of Ireland. Northern Ireland, our understanding is that the church is doing far better there, but this is the statistics in the southern part, the Republic of Ireland. So it's quite low statistics, 1.5%. I believe in Canada we're upwards of 10% or so. So it's a strong drop when you go from Canada to Ireland. Next slide. This is what the Irish people are like. This is the mascot for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, in case you're a college football person. This is not what the Irish people are like. I often talk about scrappy Irish because I have Irish in my blood, but this is not what they're like. They're the most kind people we've ever met. They're like this when they get too much alcohol in them, which is probably to be said for every culture. This is not what they're like. They're very kind. They're very respectful. They're very much about... They want to talk. They're very polite like Canadians. Like, it's the first country we've gone to besides Canada where if you kind of bump into someone, they actually say they're sorry as well as you, right? So they say they're sorry, but they want to do more than just be polite. They actually want to talk. Everyone wants to have a conversation. They always have time to talk and to tell their story and to say how their life is going on. Would you want to add anything to that, Marcy?
Yeah, actually, the first morning, the men had gone to a men's Bible study, and I went with Brenda to the milk market, and we had probably 10 different conversations with strangers. They're strangers to Brenda, and they're strangers to me, but I was kind of smiling by the time we had like the seventh conversation, because it was like long lost friends just having a long conversation, completely unhurried, so much so that they wanted to help in every possible way, not just about the topic of you know, interest, like what they were selling or whatever, but they just wanted to talk about anything. And I felt like in that moment, I was thinking, this is the avenue to reach these people for Jesus, because they so want to just have an unhurried kind of conversation. So I said to Lawrence, you should see it. It's amazing. Because in Canada, we have the polite conversation, then we move on. But there, I said, try it out. I dare you to sort of test it. And we tested it over and over, and we were amazed. Just people on the sidewalk would just stop, give you their full body language, you know, engaged conversation about really nothing, just yeah, about whatever. Really neat people group that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Not to mention that they're very, they wouldn't like the word patriotic, because they would see the United States as being patriotic. It kind of, that run amok, but they would be very patriotic. They're very much about their country. You know, the World Cup of rugby was going on, and they were very much about the Irish, and unfortunately they lost while we were there. But they're very, very patriotic, but at the same time, they're very welcoming to people of different nations. And you'll see that as we talk about the church in Limerick here. Next slide, please. This is something that we noticed when we were in Ireland especially, was just the superstition that's a part of their spirituality. These are called fairy or wishing trees, the fairies or the wee people as they call them. And you would see these rags or ribbons tied to trees. Marcy noticed it more than I do because I don't have eyes for stuff like that, but she saw them everywhere. And basically what they do is they tie ribbons to these trees, and when they're doing so, they're praying to the fairies to bless them and to give them favor. That kind of thing. And so there's a lot of superstition there. There's a lot of, from the past, from their druidic roots, there's a lot of things of animism where they're worshiping creation and trees, that sort of thing, that creeps into their obviously, their spirituality. And I think there's a lot of strongholds that need to be broken in the name of Jesus because of that as well. Yeah. So that's something that we noticed. Do you want to add anything to that, Marcy?
Yeah, I think we, these kind of places, they become like a shrine. It's not like any tree will do. It's one where someone has identified the presence of something that would indicate that this is a place to pause and to put your hopes in, you know, but they're also afraid of the fairies. Yeah. They're afraid of, and we all know, we'll just say it for what it is, it's a demonic thing. It's a demonic thing. And yeah. So these places are revered and they're made like a shrine, even though it's just anywhere and everywhere. And it's the saddest thing to me,
yeah,
that they put their hope in that, and yet it has bondage connected to it because that hope is deep rooted into something that isn't of the Lord, right?
Yeah. So that's a little bit about the Irish people. It's a beautiful country, very green compared to here. The people are beautiful as well. Next slide, please. These are missionaries that we're connected to in Ireland. This is Bruce and Brenda Taylor. They call themselves Team Taylor, standing for the Evangelical Alliance Mission, which is the missions group that they are connected to. Brenda grew up in Penticton. She came to know the Lord in this church. She was baptized in that baptismal tank behind us here. And Bruce has lived a good portion of years here in Penticton as well. They attended this church while they were getting their stuff together to go to Ireland. And when they did so, the church really connected well with them, and we became their sending church when they went off to Ireland, and we're continued to support them in this way. Just going to go to the next slide, please. So this is the area that Bruce and Brenda live in. There's two counties in particular that they're serving in: the county of Limerick, which is on the left side, and then the county of Tipperary. It's a long way to Tipperary. Have you ever heard that before? This is the two counties in particular. Three communities that we'll be talking about in particular are circled on the left side. There's Limerick, there's Nina in the north, and there's Thurles on the right bottom side. Nina is where Bruce and Brenda live. We'll get and show you a picture of that, of their home right now. This is Bruce and Brenda's home in Nina, and that's their little car. They call her Blueberry. I called her Madam Blueberry because she took me everywhere. So this is their home just on the left-hand side there. There's another home on the right there, but it's a three-bedroom home. It's a great home for them to live in. It's on the outskirts of Nina. Nina is a community of about 9,000 plus people, and so they're on the outskirts of Nina, and it's actually a place for them it's a sanctuary place for them. It's not kind of in the heart of the community, it's removed, but it's very peaceful there, which I'm thankful for their sake that it's there. And it's big enough for them to be able to host people like us and their family as well when they come in and visit them. So that's their little car, Blueberry. She's a little Toyota. Did you know they drive on the other side of the road there? It's really crazy. We're crossing the road and we're always looking the wrong way for the traffic. Thankfully, God protected us through it all. Next slide. Let's get into this. This is Nina Baptist Church. So a couple weeks ago when you were worshiping, we were worshiping 8 hours earlier at Nina Baptist Church. Nina is a church that used to be about 40 people, and it's declined over the years. I think that the people that planted the church there were quite charismatic people in personality, and they were able to bring a lot of people into the church. So there was some vibrancy there in the past, but over the years, due to a few circumstances and a few other things, the church has declined. So you can see there was about 8 worshipers there that morning. Next slide, please. This is Bruce and Brenda. They led the music there that day. Bruce and Brenda are not in Nina that much anymore. They're there upon request because of Pastor David, who's there now. And we'll show you a picture of him in a little bit. Next slide, please. So this is me preaching to all 10 of us in that, 10 or 11 of us in that room. We had a good morning together. Next slide. This is us spending some time together afterwards with coffee and, what do they call them? Biscuits. And coffee and biscuits. And so we were spending some time chatting there. I don't know if you remember the gal named Judith. You can see her there yawning. She was yawning because she had been up all night. Just go to the next slide, please. This is John and Judith. We emphasized them, I think it was back in the spring, asking Bruce and Brenda asked us to pray for John and for Judith. So John, we were praying for him because he has an addiction to alcohol, and he still wants to be free of it, but he's still not free. And he was actually going to be going into rehab that week. And there were some struggles there with you know, obviously with their marriage as things were progressing with his addiction. So you can continue. Our aim for this morning is for you to latch on to some prayer items as well. So if God puts it on your heart to pray for John and Judith, please do so. Judith is a lovely lady. She actually is a Bachelor of Theology, I believe. She's quite learned in the Word. But she really wants her husband to be free from this addiction. So please pray for John and for Judith. Yeah, John is a believer, but he's just not free of this particular addiction. Next slide, please. So this is Pastor David and his wife, Afaf. A-F-A-F is her name. And so we spent some time later on in the week. They were not there at Nina when we were there on that particular Sunday, but we got to see them later on in the week and have coffee with them. They're a lovely couple. David is a former civil servant. He's in his early 60s. He's retired from that, and he didn't want to just go play golf. He wanted to actually stay involved in the mission, so he decided to. He was actually filling the pulpit at Nina quite a bit over the past number of months, and then they asked him to come in to be their pastor. Now, obviously, eight people are not enough to support a pastor, unless there's a millionaire in their bunch, which there isn't. And so the Baptist denomination is sponsoring Pastor David's salary for a number of years just to give Nina a bit of a kickstart to prime the pump to help them to grow. And from our perspective, Pastor David and Afaf are a great addition to this church. They will be amazing. He's a very gentle person, and yet he's still very firm when he needs to be when it comes to biblical truth. So I'm really excited that the Pastor David and Afaf are leading that congregation and caring for them as well. Marcy, you visited with Afaf. Do you want to say anything more?
Just that she struggles with her health, with chronic health problem. The other thing I wanted to say about them, I guess from the perspective that I have as ministry people, this church is not just small, it's actually
hard.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Like when we were there on the Sunday morning, I don't know if you can relate to this, if I can paint it this way, but it felt like there was no oxygen in the room. People did not come anticipating from the Lord. It was extremely dead. And so if you could pray for David and Afaf, they have a hard, hard go ahead of them.
Yeah.
They've just begun. In fact, Afaf told me she had just unpacked her things. They had moved on Wednesday, and we met with them on Friday, I think. Yeah. So they're just beginning, so they really badly need your prayers.
Yeah, so please pray for Pastor David and Afaf. Thank you so much for doing that. So on that Sunday evening, as you guys were worshiping here, we were worshiping in a place called in Limerick Baptist Church called Cafe Church. You've heard Bruce and Brenda perhaps talk about it. It's basically kind of their third congregation, if you will. Cafe Church is a group of about 20 to 30 primarily young adults that gather on a Sunday evening. Not all young adults, as you can see, but primarily young adults. It's not in a cafe environment anymore, though I think it started that way a number of years ago. They meet in the sanctuary, and they basically just circle the chairs. They sing together. Someone teaches. They share life. They do life together. It's quite an important time. We're gonna in particular, point out to you Andy and Shay.
Can we just say first?
Sure.
It was an interesting thing because we had come off such a hard morning, and it's a downer kind of when you have that kind of morning, and you're like, oh, here we go again. Like, you're not sure what you're going into. And this particular group, there was somebody who didn't have a key, and there were a bunch of them outside, and they're just having fun and enjoying each other's company. And so we were among that. So we had kind of a pre opportunity to start to get to know some of them. But there's just this life there that is so uniquely different. And these young adults that are there, I would say, like, they are just leaning into matters of faith and discipleship in a unique way that I would challenge any of you to do. Yeah. So we were excited. This was very life-giving for us this evening, and
they were very receptive of us too.
Oh,
they welcomed us into their into the space, but also into their hearts quite well. Yeah. So Andy and Shay, Andy's on the left, and then his girlfriend Shay, they're not married yet, but I think they probably will be in the near future. Andy is an Irish boy. He grew up on a dairy just outside of Limerick. Andy grew up in a more religious environment, but he found Jesus just a couple of years ago, and Jesus just changed his life right from the inside out. Andy struggles with some emotional struggles, so I encourage you to pray for Andy. I believe that God has something big in store for Andy. Bruce believes that perhaps Andy will be a worship leader someday because he plays the guitar and sings really well. And his lady friend, Shay, she's an American. She's from Pennsylvania, but she went to school in Limerick. There's a lot of international students in the Limerick area. And Shay is actually, she lost her sight when she was six, but apparently she plays the piano beautifully just by ear. Yeah, and she's just a really lovely young lady. She wants to use her gift to do music therapy with people to help them to heal from the struggles that they've endured, and obviously for her to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So please pray for Andy and Shay if God puts that on your heart as well. Next slide.
I have to first say that it's so hard to choose people to share stories with because I was saying to Mary Beth this morning, we always feel honored when you share your story with us because we feel unworthy of that. And yet it's a great privilege and we love journeying with you in that way. Yeah. But when you know somebody for 5 minutes and then they so openly share their story with you, there's just such...
It's beautiful.
It's a deep honor. And yeah. So many of these young people shared their stories with us. But this is another young girl. And I said to Lawrence, when we looked back at the photos, I'm like, oh, this girl, this is kind of creepy looking photo of her, but she is so beautiful. Yeah. And this misrepresents her. So I need to tell you that before I tell you her story. She granted us permission to share her story because it's so remarkable. And we heard stories like this so many times. So we wanted to convey at least one sort of intact full story. She's 32 years old. She is a new believer. She has known Jesus, I think, for under 2 years.
Yeah.
A short period of time. And I don't know, I wish I had asked more questions, but for the sake of time, we don't always get those opportunities. But she is currently going to Bible school. She's passionately loving and serving Jesus. She lives, I think, 2 hours away from Limerick Church. There is no church local to her whatsoever. Mm-hmm. None of her family and none of her friends know and love Jesus. And yet she's making sacrifices to come. They said often she can't come. She's short of money. And so she has to kind of plan and prepare when she's going to make the trek fuel-wise. She lives in a home property that she does not have heating fuel. And because there's a plumbing issue of some kind that makes mold in her house that needs to be repaired, but she doesn't have the money to actually address these issues. So it's picking and choosing what priorities are. But her past, she called herself heavily involved in the occult. And also...
It's okay.
I'm sorry. Also, she considered herself bisexual. And she... was involved in a homosexual relationship, and God just redeemed her out of all of those things.
Yeah.
It's such a common story. The occult is so deep and so gripping there. So many times we heard, we would have a conversation with someone who was excited about Jesus and all animated and everything, engaging with the sermon or engaging with a course or whatever had gone on, and Brenda would say, "That woman used to be a witch." And I'm like, wow, like that's amazing. But yeah. The story, I don't want you to focus on that. I want you to understand that God redeems that. He calls people out of that.
Yeah.
And he makes them passionate for him. So that the last half of her story, she tried to take her life. Rat poison was her choice of potency. Mm-hmm. And she sat with us and she said, "I am so passionate that people know that there's hope. And I'm so thankful that God saved me, that he saved and preserved my life." And she said, "I want those people." She said, "So many of the communities around here, it's not uncommon to lose 3 people on a week to suicide."
Yeah.
And so she said, I just want to get out there and I just want to tell them that about Jesus and how he makes life different and they don't have to live within that bondage. So she just had the most radiant glow of love for Jesus. And I said to her, I said, I can see the love of Jesus in you. And she stopped and she said, really? I said, absolutely. So I hope and pray that you would pray for her. She's up against everything because she can't get to church. She can't. Her empowerment has to be kind of self-empowerment in a lot of ways, and her Bible school. But pray that God provides for her in a monetary way so that she can keep going.
Someone actually from the church handed us $500.
This church.
2 weeks ago, yeah. On the way out, and they said, please help someone over there. So she got that $500, by the way. We got her some gas cards just to help her out with transportation. It doesn't take care of all of her problems, but it helps her to know that Jesus loves her and will help her to be able to worship with her church often. So, yeah. Next slide, please. This is Limerick Baptist Church. So a week later, we were at Limerick Baptist Church. They have two worship gatherings in the morning, one at about 9 o'clock and one at about 11 o'clock. This is the 11 o'clock. The 9 o'clock is quite small. There was just a small gathering. This is the 11 o'clock, which is far more, there's a lot more people there. This was taken early on in the gathering. It actually filled up a little bit more, so they're a little bit like us that way. They just kind of fill up as we go. But it's a very multicultural church. Over 20 nations are represented in this room at Limerick Baptist Church. In fact, there was less Irish people than there were people from other nations put together, so it's quite an amazing thing to consider. And they worship God in their own way. That's why I said I'm glad to be back here with you today. But they worship with great exuberance and enthusiasm. This is a bright light that's shining in the city of Limerick, and we're so grateful for them.
I think it could be said, too, that this is very young. Like, there's hardly any seniors. Yeah. It's all, you know, 50 and down kind of thing.
Lots of young people. Lots of young families. It's really, really cool. There's a picture, next picture is of them doing life together afterwards in their fellowship hall. And it's just a lot of people spending time together, just loving being together, which is a really great sign for them as a church. Next slide, please. This is Pastor Paul and Caroline. Pastor Paul is, like the picture shows, he is a character. He's perfectly fit for this church, for Limerick Baptist Church. It's a church that's a little bit unstructured and difficult. It's like herding cats a little bit, I think. But Pastor Paul is up for it, and he's a little bit hard to corral himself as well. His wife Caroline as well, they're a beautiful, beautiful couple, and I'm so grateful that they are there. Pastor Paul is he's always joking around. He's very light. He's just really amazing that way. Something else that you should know about him, we prayed for him over a year ago that he had an emotional breakdown. Bruce and Brenda needed to lean into Limerick a little bit more at that point, and he is doing a lot better emotionally now, and I'm so grateful for our prayers for him.
Yeah.
As we prayed for him with those emotional struggles.
One of the things that I took from Pastor Paul, actually I should tell this funny story, it's probably more embarrassing to me than to him, but when I was first introduced to him, he said, give us a kiss, and I was like, oh, I don't know what that means. But of course, we're left and right and all that stuff. But anyways, he's just an exuberant guy. But one of the things that I got from him immediately was how deeply he loves his people.
Yeah.
I don't want to miss the fact that, like, in all the talk about him being silly, he definitely is silly, but he loves affectionately and deeply, and he's the Uber for his church people. He carts them around, and
God bless Pastor Paul.
Yeah, God bless Pastor Paul. Yeah. Like, really, he's the whole kit and caboodle, and yeah. I just really honor him for that.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah. This is a church, by the way, Limerick for sure, but I think the other churches, it could be said of this as well, they are definitely a people of the Word. Yeah. They're people that are very passionate about the Word of God, and so I'm really grateful for that they're really all about biblical truth, so they lean into it incredibly much. It's so good, and Pastor Paul follows suit on that as well. The last church, we didn't get to visit this church as a church. Go ahead, next slide, please. This is Thurles Baptist Church. That was the bottom right-hand side of that triangle that we showed you. This is an elder and his wife. You can see Trevor in the middle on the left and Lee on the right in the front. And Trevor is one of the elders of Thurles Baptist Church. Thurles has been without a pastor for at least 2 years. They've had trouble finding a pastor that would be a good fit for them. So Trevor, I think, has really felt the burden of that as far as the leadership of the church goes. So he's been preaching a lot. He's been leading a lot of Bible studies. He's been doing a lot of soul care with people as well. I think that they're very, very stretched. And I'm a little bit worried about Trevor, that he's going to be able to continue on with this pace. On top of a full-time job, he actually is doing his seminary on top of that. He's just a glutton for punishment that way, but just really passionate about knowing more about the Word. And I believe that he'll probably be a pastor at some point in the future. But you can just be praying for Thurles Baptist. While we were there, Bruce and Brenda have been in discussion with Thurles as to them coming alongside Thurles and helping them probably in areas of preaching and other ways as well. So I think that this will alleviate some of the pressure that Trevor feels on himself. So I'm grateful that Bruce and Brenda are leading into that, and we're pretty hopeful that this arrangement will happen. But also pray that Thurles will find a pastor in the near future as well, a pastor that fits them well. Thurles is a church of about 60 people or so, and my understanding is that they're actually a church that's really solid as well. So please be praying for Thurles. One thing that we learned about Ireland is that there's a lack of pastors there, and there's a lack of church planters as well. And this is probably a good point as any to talk about it. There are pockets where the gospel has made great inroads in Ireland. So when we use the 1.5%, don't let that throw you off. There are certain pockets that are doing really well in the Dublin area, in the Cork area in the south, and in the Limerick area as well. The gospel is doing quite well, and there's quite a number of churches there that have a real heart to plant more churches. But it's in the rural areas where I'm concerned about the Irish people. Like Sarah has to drive 2 hours to worship. Lots of people have to do that. And in my mind, that's just almost an injustice if you have to drive more than half an hour to go worship somewhere. It's not that they're choosing to, it's that there's no other option for them. Mm-hmm. So I would like us to really pray about this, that God would put it on the heart of people to plant churches in Ireland. And that's going to take people to be called, but that's going to take some finances as well, which I'm going to talk later about. And I don't have a word from the Lord for you this morning, but it's just something for us to begin praying about for sure.
If I could add to when we spent time with Trevor, it's an interesting thing to sit with three pastoral-minded couples because the conversation is interesting. And it's almost always focused on the church and the ministry, and which is what we went there to do. But it happens here too when you get pastors together. But Trevor and Lee are functioning completely alone, and so they're lay people, but they're functioning alone. They have children that are growing up. She shared with me that her daughter is struggling it's not that she struggles with her faith, but she struggles with the fact that no one else in her social circles or her friends.
Her name is Abigail. Pray for her. She's 18.
That they don't share her faith. And so it's hard to toe the line by yourself. But Lee said they as we struggled to tear ourselves away from our time with them, and they us actually, she said, I think we're just gonna go home and cry now because we feel so encouraged and thankful.
One of the questions that got asked a lot was, why were Lawrence and Marcy in Ireland? So Lee and Trevor are like, why are you here? And we said, well, it's because we're connected to Bruce and Brenda and we care about the nation, the Republic of Ireland. I said, we pray for them, and when we're doing so, we're actually praying for you as well. And so they were so grateful that we're there, showing physically, tangibly, that we care about them. So I just continue to encourage you to pray for Thurles and Trevor and Lee and Abigail as well. Next slide. Oh, this is Lawrence and Marcy. We visited one of the little tourist sites. There's a little waterfall there that we took a picture by. My glasses are a little bit like that, but it's okay. We just want to thank you so much for giving towards us going to Ireland. We're so grateful for that. We want to thank you so much for praying for us as we were there as well and leading up to it too. And thank you so much for praying for Bruce and Brenda and for the Republic of Ireland. God is on the move in Ireland, and I believe that he wants to continue to be on the move there. There's a book that's called How the Irish Saved Civilization. And I believe that the Irish were actually, after the Roman Empire fell, the Irish people preserved the word, and they kind of basically kept things going. And then they went out and they spread the word, and they actually saved Europe and in turn a lot of the world because of their passion for people to know Jesus. And I think that God is causing us to lean back in and to bring the gospel back to this people group that needs to hear about him so desperately. Just give one more slide there. These are ways you can pray. Pray for Team Taylor. Pray for Bruce and Brenda. Pray that they would know. I believe that Bruce and Brenda are in the right country. They fit in Ireland so well. But pray that they would know what God wants them to do with the group of people that he wants them to do it with. Whatever church to get connected to and how to help them. Pray for Nina Baptist Church, as we talked about. For Limerick Baptist Church. For Thurles Baptist, as we talked about. Pray for more churches, pastors, and church planters that might come even from our own gathering here today. And pray for hope for the Irish people. We intentionally chose this picture. This is a picture just outside of King John's Castle in Limerick. And this is the Shannon River. Bruce and Brenda have talked about this before. This is a river where there's a lot of tragedy. This is where the river flows quite quickly, especially when the tides are coming in and out. And a lot of people take their lives right here on this river. A lot of people will jump off the bridge and they succumb to the temperature of the water and the current as well. There's a lot of people that are actually walking around this area all the time doing suicide watch because it's just become this trend where people are taking their lives here. So I want us to pray for hope, that people in Ireland would find a real and genuine hope. Can we do that? Let's Marcy, would you lead us in prayer? And then I'll dig into the word here.
Precious Father, this morning, I thank you that you are mighty and that you can be where we cannot be and that you are doing what we cannot do and that it is a tireless work, God, that you do, that you're not silent. You don't lack action. And so, God, I pray that we would be alert to see what you're doing, both here at home and abroad, that people are people that you love. And so many times, Lord, in this trip in time away, I was wishing that I could just teleport my church to be with these people and to have both ways recognize that they're loved from afar and that there's people who are interested in knowing who they are and what they're all about. Mm. So God, I give all of these people, these churches in Ireland and the nation of Ireland to you, God. I know that nothing is beyond your hand of work. And through the history of time, God, you have just swooped in and restored and redeemed so much brokenness in entire nations. And we pray over the nation of Ireland, God, that you would do that. That the power of your Holy Spirit, the work of the Word, God, would just avail much, and that these people would understand that they do not need to be hopeless. They do not need to put empty ribbons on trees with wishes and prayers that are going to come to nothing. They don't need to accept the evil work that that has been accepted previously. They can lean into a power that's higher, that's a saving and inspiring and life-giving hope. So we give them to you, Father. We pray that you would inspire us to pray for them, to be faithful to pray for them. God, we pray for the workers, the pastors, the missionaries that are there, that they would not grow faint in what they do. It's hard soil. It's hard ground. But we pray, God, that you would just keep a strong fire burning for you there.
Yeah.
That your people, God, would shine brightly and that you would just continue to have others catch on to what that hope is all about. We thank you and praise you, God, for the honor and privilege that it is to serve you, that we get to know you and that we get to draw close to you and we can understand your word as it's presented to us.
Yeah.
Thank you for the privilege that we have of a church that we can come together and be inspired and grow together each and every Sunday.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen.
Amen. Son. You okay with a little sermon? Here we go. As we drove around parts of Ireland with Bruce and Brenda, one verse kept coming to mind to me over and over. When Paul, who planted many churches, was in the city of Corinth, he encountered a lot of obstacles to the gospel being embraced there. Now remember, Corinth was a tough, tough city. We had a series on Corinth a number of years ago. Gods were on every street corner and every hilltop. And the worship of these gods was incredibly immoral. There were many things to mislead and distract people from the truth, and the nothing that gave people real and lasting hope there in Corinth. Finally, one man in Corinth, a man by the name of Titius Justus, said yes to Jesus. And it was the beginning of the church in this city called Corinth. But it was a church that was so small, even smaller than Nina. It was so small. I can only imagine how daunted even Paul must have felt, and how he was not, how discouraged perhaps he might have felt at the obstacles in front of him. But then God gave a message to Paul. He says this in Acts 18, verses 9 and 10. One night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. "Do not be afraid," he says. "Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack or harm you because I have many people in this city," says God to Paul. Don't be discouraged. Keep at it. Keep communicating the gospel. People will embrace it eventually. "They have not yet given their lives to me, but they are destined to, so don't give up. Keep gospeling people." As we were driving around parts of Ireland, the last part of this verse kept coming to mind for me. It kept kind of bouncing around inside my head. I have many people in this city, in this country. And I believe that God has big things in store for the Republic of Ireland. Just like Canada belongs to God, Ireland belongs to God as well. And He has many people there. People who have already said yes to Jesus, and people who will one day say yes to Him as well. Years earlier, before this night when God spoke to Paul, Jesus was sitting by a well somewhere between Jerusalem and Galilee. It was midday. Along came a woman to fetch some water, hours after most women go to get water for the day. And Jesus says to her, "Please give me a drink." "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman," she responded. "How can you ask me for a drink?" You see, Jews don't talk with Samaritans, Jewish men do not talk with Samaritan women, and a Jewish rabbi for sure wouldn't be caught close to a Samaritan woman, let alone talk to her. Jesus said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Through the course of this conversation, the woman comes to realize that she was drawing water, not from the well, but in life, in fact, from this stagnant cistern full of this putrid water. She was living her life in a way that was less than thriving. Though the water would quench her thirst temporarily, it might have tasted sweet in the moment in her mouth, but when it hit her stomach, it turned sour within her, and it did not satisfy in the long run, and it would eventually kill her. And she needed the life-giving water that Jesus had for her. By the end of the conversation, she took this big drink of the gospel, and it changed her life and it gave her hope. Within the hour, Jesus taught his disciples, his followers, an important truth. He says to them, "I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now the harvests. He harvests the crop for eternal life so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together." The physical harvest has been finished in Ireland. We were driving through the countryside and the harvest is done. The fields are picked clean, but the spiritual harvest, I believe, is just beginning in this beautiful country full of beautiful people. Sadly, many of them have not yet embraced the hope of the gospel. What part will we play? Will we encourage the tailors in the church in Ireland? I believe so. Will we pray for them for a harvest for sure? Will we continue to give to them as we are doing now? I hope so as well. Will we send our best, our brightest, those that are called to Ireland to pastor and plant churches? I have no idea, but perhaps. 5 to 10 years later, after God gives Paul this vision of many God people in Corinth, Paul writes to the same church in Corinth, a church where the harvest had occurred. He writes, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, "What after all is Apollos? And what is Paul? They are only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed," writes Paul. "Apollos watered it." There's these two church leaders that people had kind of, they had put them at each other, and Paul's like, "We're friends, we're not at each other, we're not competitors in this, we're actually working together for the gospel." And he uses this farming illustration, which touches my heart as well. I grew up on a farm, and this is what I know. Farming takes a lot of time and a lot of energy. Most of the year, a farmer works steady, but from April, May, till October, they're working super hard. They're reaching out And I believe when it comes to the gospel that reaching out to our neighbors and coworkers and classmates is hard work, is it not? Super hard work. And it's exhausting and time-consuming, but I believe it's so worth it when we consider what could happen, how their eternal destiny can change. Farming not only takes a lot of time and energy, but it takes investment as well. Seed is expensive. Fuel, pricey. Farm equipment, you know how much a combine costs nowadays? Like, it's like $500,000 or more for a combine. Land is pricey. Getting rid of weeds and pests is not cheap as well. I'm so proud of us. Can I say that without any condescension? I'm so proud that we as a people care about the world, that we care about reaching out to the world with the gospel. Thank you so much for your generosity, giving to the Taylors, to the Global Advance, to Simon and Jenna as well. It's so worth it. The Lord has assigned to each his task, it says in this verse. The Lord has assigned to each his task. What's your task? That's something for all of us to figure out. What is your task as it comes to gospeling people? We need to figure it out. We need to ask God what our task is if we don't know yet. Because it's harvest time. And like harvest on the farm, it's all hands on deck on the farm when it's harvest time. Everyone is participating in some way. And God wants to use all of us to produce a crop and to bring in the harvest. But the key ingredient to producing a crop, it says later on in this passage, it says, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. I don't know how anyone, I've said this many a time, I don't know how anyone could farm unless they actually are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. You put the expensive seed in the ground, you put all that money out there, I as a farmer would hit my knees and say, God, this is up to you, have mercy. That crop will never be there without God. And I believe that there will not be a crop here in Penticton nor in Ireland without the Lord's work as well. We can do nothing and accomplish nothing without God. No one will say yes to Jesus without God's work in their life. Those of us that have said yes to Jesus, it's because of the work of God, first and foremost, in our lives. No, the man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor, for we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, writes Paul. We as God's people in this passage actually have potentially two different identities. First of all, we are a field. We're dirt. How does that strike you today? It's actually meant to enthuse us, meant to get us going. Others in the past and in our midst have actually tended to us as a field. If you think back in your life, I can think of Sunday school teachers and pastors and people that prayed for me, and all of them had a part to play in producing a crop in my life. But not only are we a field, but we also have the opportunity to be field workers or farmers as well. That's up to us, though. If we engage with God's mission to make more and more mature disciples of Jesus, whether it's here in Penticton or somewhere else in the world, I believe it's harvest time. Anyone else excited about that? I believe that God wants to do something significant. I believe that revival is just, we're on the threshold of it. If we hit our knees and say, God, do something with me. I'm willing, I'm surrendered. We all have a woman at the well in our lives, I believe. Someone who is drinking putrid water that will eventually kill them. They are our missionary, our mission field right close by, but there's a bigger mission field than that as well. And may God give us the urgency to gospel these people, to love them with reckless abandon, the right timing and the right words to say in order to communicate the gospel to them as we don't give them the water, but we just show them to the well. That's what our job is to show them to Jesus, to the well, the one who can give them living water. Let's pray together and then we'll take communion. Lord, I hope I'm not too indulgent when I pray for us as a congregation that you would just use us. We give ourselves to you, Lord, for your purposes. I confess, Lord, that I believe we've been withholding. We're too reserved. We're withholding ourselves from people. We're withholding our resources, our time, our energy, and giving it to other things. And I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would convict us where you need to today. I pray that you would put someone's face in our mind right now, someone that you want us to reach out to, someone, that woman at the well in our lives, who's not going to be with you forever unless she drinks from the living water of you. Give us, Lord, the urgency. Give us the love for others. Give us the words to say. Give us the right timing. We want to be used by you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you long to use your people. We know, Lord, that you don't need us, and yet you still choose to use us, and we're so grateful for the opportunity that is before us. Give us wisdom, Lord, as we look across the ocean at Ireland. Help us to know, Lord, if there's something more that you want us to get involved with. Give Bruce and Brenda great wisdom, Lord, as they partner with the churches there. Give them just an incredible discernment, Lord, to know what you're saying and the timing of it all as well. We love you, Lord Jesus. As we partake around your table right now, Lord, we honor your sacrifice for us. All of this is possible only because of your sacrifice for us. We have hope only because of the cross, only because you gave your life for us 20 centuries ago. We have hope only because you rose from the grave, and we celebrate this around your Father's table here in this moment, and we're so grateful for that opportunity. Pray that you'd prepare our hearts for it, do a work in us, speak to us, and continue, Lord, to shape us into your image, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.